Hello and welcome to the D2C Leaders podcast, a series brought to you by Commerce Centric. My name is Philip Driver, founder and CEO of Commerce Centric, the direct-to-consumer experts. And together with my guests, we will be deep diving the most important topics around direct-to-consumer and e-commerce. You will hear from the top leaders in their field on how they faced and overcame the big D2C challenges and their thoughts on the future of e-commerce. Learn what you need to stay ahead and to take your business direct-to-consumer.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the D2C Leaders podcast. This week, I'm very happy to have Anthony Favell from Brompton Bicycles on the show. Anthony, you're very welcome along.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
So, Anthony, Brompton, it's a very unique British brand bicycle loved by customers all over the world. Where did everything begin for Brompton and how did it grow to become such a successful brand?
Yeah, it's a good one. I mean, it's quite an interesting story. So Brompton was first designed by a gentleman called Andrew Ritchie in 1975 in his flat opposite the Brompton Oratory in South Kensington, hence the name. And full-time production really started in 1988 with two people, Andrew and a brazier called Patrick. That wasn't without its challenges. He tried to sell his idea originally because he didn't want to manufacture himself, and got kicked back by some quite big brands, i.e. Rally, etc. But now, obviously, we're in 2016, the company became to about 230 employees and ended up in Greenford, where we are now. And we are currently at over 500 people working for Brompton, and we now distribute to around 47 countries globally. So quite a big step change in quite a short period of time, really.
Yeah, that's an interesting story. I mean, some fantastic history there and growth to where the business is today. And of course, with the advent of e-commerce and online sales, that's something that I'm assuming is, you know, a very big part of the business for you today. So in your role, Anthony, coming in as e-commerce trading manager, you've brought a wealth of knowledge into this role. How has this helped you kind of bring out the success in the online business over the past year or so?
I think, I mean, my experience started in the bathroom world, working for a multinational retailer called Bath Store, where I kind of started as a e-commerce merchandiser and moved through the ranks to looking after development projects and then eventually becoming the e-commerce manager there. And then after that, I moved into a startup business again in the bathroom world. And I think that for me was such a great experience of being kind of a one-man band and being everything from e-commerce to marketing to logistics, and getting that business up and running. And I think, you know, when I came to Brompton, we were certainly from an e-commerce channel perspective nowhere near the size that we are now. And I think what's been really interesting for me is walking into such a well-known brand with a channel that was in such that was in its infancy. And what's been great is the team that we built in Brompton is very entrepreneurial, and I think that's been really key in terms of understanding where we want to be very quickly, because obviously that doesn't come without its challenges, growing at the rate that we have done. But for me, when I came in, I think the key was to understand the internal process. Obviously, having not worked for a manufacturer before, was very almost a baptism of fire of understanding the internal workings of, you know, how do you ensure that you've got stock all the time when you've got hundreds and hundreds of customers globally, and we're just a small customer at the moment. And I think, you know, the success over the last 12 months, while I'd love to say it was all down to me, it was definitely catapulted due to the COVID pandemic. I think cycling is one of those industries that has seen a huge boom globally through COVID, but also through people making more conscious decisions about the way they travel, trying to be greener, trying to stay fitter. But I think what the key for me was ensuring that the team as a whole bought into the idea of the journey we were going on over the next 2 or 3 years. You know, opening a direct-to-consumer channel is not simple, especially when you've got many channels to the business, whether that's distributors or it's your high street dealer and independent shop, or it's the big chains like Evans and Halfords. And, you know, internally, there's almost a slight competition between the channels in terms of you're coming into my space and how does that work, and ensuring that we're all working together to the same goal. And the goal, obviously, is to ensure that Brompton Bicycles is accessible to everybody, wherever they are globally. So I think as long as that foundation is there and you take people with you, I think actually becoming more successful and growing as a channel well becomes much easier.
Yeah, absolutely. It really sounds like you and the team have really taken this challenge on and dealt with, you know, the external things that are going on in the market, with COVID obviously being a big thing, and, you know, really putting the business onto a positive path for growth. I think, you know, we often talk about D2C. It's a very specialist industry to be involved in. And really an important part of that is managing that customer life cycle, you know, having a very tight relationship with them, growing with the customers as you go along. How has Brompton's interacted with that piece, you know, the customer centricity piece?
I think it's a good question. I think the challenge for us as an e-commerce channel, D2C, was, you know, historically, we were built on a click and collect model. Given the fact that we're a manufacturer, you know, we were never providing products to the end consumer direct to their door. And I think, you know, COVID highlighted the need for a change in that. The click and collect model is great. It allows added experience to the customer walking to a bike shop, understanding if they're a first time user of what they bought, making sure the bike is ready to go, etc. But for us, it felt the right time to move with that customer and offer more delivery options, in short. So during the last few months, what we've done is we've launched a direct to home project. So for anybody in any consumer, that seems probably quite a simple next step. But being a manufacturer, it was super difficult. So if I just tell you a bit about how we did that.
Yeah.
So we, as COVID hit, obviously shops were shut. Fortunately, bicycle retailers were allowed to stay open for the majority of it, which was great for us. But what we found is that a lot of customers actually didn't want to visit shops unless it was absolutely necessary. So direct to home was always something that had been considered at Brompton, but actually the challenges of us getting a bike ready to deliver to someone's door was quite difficult. However, the opportunity was too big to pass up. Yeah. So within a space of 2 or 3 weeks, we managed to spin up a separate Shopify website. We'd managed to re-engineer kind of how we deliver our boxes. We'd managed to implement a workshop full of technicians to check every single bike that we were selling via e-commerce that was coming off the line to ensure that it was 100% perfect. And then we set off with our delivery partner UPS to start implementing that. But we were amazed by the take up. I mean, to give you an example, when I joined the business, to the height of the pandemic, we were, you know, 100-150% up on bike units per week. But that's the story across the industry, really. You know, Brompton's no different in that. But direct to home, because you're limited with click and collect in terms of locations,
yeah,
it really opened up the UK for us as a channel, rather than being so London centric, which was a really interesting journey. I think we'll come on to that a little bit later.
Yeah, no, that's a really interesting story. I think the thing that stood out there really was how quickly you were able to scale up on the Shopify platform, and how you were able to pull all the moving parts together to make the model work in a challenging time and really get the rewards for that. So I think that's really an impressive story. And, you know, thinking about the products a little bit more, obviously the external impact and other things influence customer behavior. But what is the best selling products at this time? What things do best on the store? Where's all the demand at the moment?
I mean, bikes, obviously. I mean, you know, I think when people think about Brompton, they obviously just think of our bike. You know, we've seen huge demand for that. We've not recently, but our big focus is our new electric bike, which is making huge strides in terms of a percentage of our sales. And then also we get onto our special editions, which get released sort of maybe once or twice a year, depending on the model. And they've just flown through. But I think what's been really interesting for me is the uptake of our other categories, our parts and accessories category. So obviously we've got our luggage category, which is purpose made for the bike and clips onto the front of the bike, which has seen a really good uptick. Smaller products like our toolkits that fit with the bike, etc., that are branded, they're always great presents for people, but obviously the majority of people that buy a bike also buy one of those. It's not something that we make people buy, but it seems to be a second purchase for somebody. But then what we're really moving towards is looking at our clothing and our apparel. So what we've really spent a lot of time on is creating stylish clothing that focuses on what a rider would need. Things like reflectors on your cuffs if you're buying a smart jacket, it's reflectors on your collar. It's making it functional but also stylish. And that's kind of manufactured itself into working with really good, great designers such as Oliver Spencer, who we've just launched a collaboration with. So it's all moving in the right direction, but parts and accessories has been the biggest surprise for me.
Yeah, it's interesting you should say that. I think looking at the site, you know, as a customer who I am, going to the site and looking at these products, it really feels like you're buying into the brand. You're buying into the lifestyle and the message that's been sold. And, you know, the quality of those accessories and other items seem really nice and it fits the whole concept really well. I think that was the one thing that stood out to me when I looked at the site myself. And, you know, that's really interesting. You know, you can go so many different ways with the product and sell these different items. And looking at the data related to this, then are you getting good feedback from customers in terms of what they're looking for, you know, what they're trying to find, what they wish to have? Like what is your data kind of telling you at the moment, you know, with these customers coming to the site and what is their tastes and needs?
Yeah, so I think in terms of our data of customers at the moment and what that's guiding, you know, I touched on it earlier, but we used to be a very city-centric brand, you know, mainly focused around London and then as we move globally, you know, New York, etc. But what we're seeing now and putting a huge focus on is our bike is not just for people that are commuting in cities. You know, we launched the Explore bike, which was targeted at getting out of the city and using it not just for your commute. And I think that's been really interesting. When you look at where people are buying our products at the moment in the UK especially, it's not just the city hubs of London, Manchester and Birmingham. You were seeing people right in the north of Scotland buying our product. But what that does lend itself to is understanding where the demand is and looking at that on a regional level. We obviously have our owned and operated stores. We call them Brompton Junctions. And obviously there's a plan to expand that store footprint. And I think what we can do as e-commerce is pave the way of seeing where those hotspots are for our product and meeting the demand there. But also I think what's been really interesting for me is the male-female split with our product. I think historically Brompton was perhaps perceived as a male-orientated brand, which, you know, is not who we strive to be. And actually, you know, the percentage of female buyers online is growing week on week. And I think what that's done is changed our focus. You know, our product ecosystem is not just bikes, it's the apparel, it's the bags, you know. So we've then launched collaborations with the likes of Liberty of London for, you know, more floral patterns for bags. We've launched a collaboration just recently with a company called Protected Species, which specialise in women's clothing. So for us, it's about following where our audience is growing and also acknowledging that perhaps we were quite light in that category and driving that category forward. And then I suppose the final one is, you know, Brompton is considered as a premium product, but we've also introduced a bike line called B75, which is more of an entry level product at a keener price point, just to try and target that younger audience to, you know, widen that accessibility bracket.
Yeah, it's really interesting, you know, how the data has been driving that decision making process, both from how you deliver the product to the customer and how that actually influences what products you're making, and being able to get ahead of that. And I think related to that, one of the other things that I've noticed, you know, with the Brompton brand is that you feel very connected to the things that customers care about. You know, for example, the urban communities project that you guys backed, that seemed really in step with, you know, urban lifestyle and the challenges of being living in a city and using your bike. How important is it to build an ethical brand, and you know, what's the success for your business of incorporating this?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge now, and I think, you know, everybody in Brompton buys into the fact that we need to be seen as, you know, we are an ethical brand. I think for us, it's highlighted by, you know, our campaign for movement. You know, we started that in London with the purpose of, you know, driving change really and taking a stand. And, you know, we all live in these, you know, high rise buildings, and just trying to lobby government and making cities happier and healthier, and lobbying for more cycle lanes in London. You know, our CEO is a great activist in terms of lobbying parties and trying to do the right thing all the time. You know, we're rolling that campaign out globally. We're working with local climate action charities, grassroots non-for-profits. You know, it's a full-time job for a lot of people, and it's taken super seriously at Brompton. You know, we're not just in the market to make money. You know, we really want to leave a lasting impact on where we operate, and if we can be a small cog in that wheel, then it's surely great for everyone.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And, you know, related to that, the COVID pandemic has really, you know, another way I think that the likes of Brompton has demonstrated their need to give the customers what they want and support, you know, healthy lifestyle, that sort of thing. So obviously, you know, you touched on this earlier that you had, you know, great demand during that time. But obviously, there's some challenges that come with operating in an environment, in the COVID environment, particularly earlier in the year with restrictions and things being shut down. What sort of challenges did you face, you know, with the business in trying to meet the demand of customers and deal with all these constraints in the background?
Yeah, I mean, look, it wasn't easy. You know, I think it was the hardest period of my working life, that's for sure. But the biggest challenge to us was the supply of our product. So, you know, being a manufacturer, we were able to operate throughout COVID, but obviously, you know, working on an assembly line is not necessarily 2 meters apart. You know, we had to restructure the entire factory to keep that production safe for the people working in there. But also, you know, when you've got a limited supply of product like we do, and there's such a huge rise in demand, how do you deal with that? And how do you make decisions about who's getting your product? Be that, you know, someone who owns an independent in London to our distributors around the world. How do you make those decisions? And it was really quite difficult. But from an e-commerce perspective, what we decided to do was to reduce our range. You know, it was much easier for us to reduce our range. I mean, Brompton has, I think it's about 16.5 million combinations of bike. So we reduced our range to 20 bikes, our best-selling product, which for us allowed us to sort of narrow it, but also stack stock deeper than we would have been able to. You know, we've always seen ourselves as a shop window into the Brompton brand, and we've always tried to offer something different and unique. But I think for us, that was the, you know, the biggest change, was standardizing what we were doing from a stock perspective. The other challenge, which, you know, everybody faced, was extended lead times. You know, given the demand, you know, our warehouse team didn't just grow overnight, you know, threefold. So we had extended lead times, obviously problems with delivery network, with everybody buying online. But I think, you know, out of those challenges, I suppose the biggest positive for me was, you know, we as a team are very small. And I think what we had to do is we had to take our mindset away from what our day-to-day is, our normal jobs, if you like, but and then just focusing on the customer and making sure that their expectations were met, whether that's going down and getting stuck in the warehouse with the guys and making sure stuff's leaving on time. It was such a great atmosphere to work in, a kind of all hands to the pump mentality, if you will, across the business. And I think now we look, you know, we're still in the midst of it, don't get me wrong, but I think we learned a huge amount from that kind of first 2-3 month period where we set ourselves up in a really good place moving forward.
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic story, and it really is a testament now to the business of how you guys managed that and where you are now, you know, looking to the future and growing your business. One of the things of interest is, you know, obviously this is a very established British brand, you know, known across the UK. What sort of international business does Brompton do, and what sort of challenges have you faced selling internationally to those customers?
Yeah, so I think, you know, there's two sides to that question. We as Brompton, as I said earlier, export to 40 odd countries around the world. You know, a total level, US and Germany are our biggest export markets by sales. However, what's been really interesting to see is Indonesia's exploded in popularity this year, and we actually believe that Indonesia is probably our biggest export market. But Indonesian Brompton fans are buying product from all over the world, you know, wherever they can get their hands on the product. So it's quite a difficult one to say where our biggest market is, because we don't have the data to support Indonesia, but we suspect it is one of the top three. E-commerce, you know, we used to sell in the likes of Singapore. we pulled back as I joined the team, just to really give everything the right focus that it needed. So at the moment, we sell bikes in the UK and France, and we sell parts and accessories across Europe. But I think France is a really high growth market for us. And that's just not led by Brompton being there. It's led by what's happening in that market. You know, all the cycling infrastructure investment in Paris, there's 650 kilometres of new bike lanes put in since COVID. You know, the major in Paris, Anne Hildegard, I think her name is, has a vision of a 50-minute green city where everything's within a 50-minute cycle or walk journey, which is really interesting. I think, you know, the initiatives in France, you know, the levies in terms of giving people grants to go towards bikes, etc., it is just really paving the way for where we should all be, and really focusing on sustainable travel. But as we grow, you know, the goal is to be active sort of D2C across the globe over the next few years. Because what that does, it gives us the opportunity to represent the brand consistently and ensure that customer experience is consistent, whether you're buying here or in Japan or the USA, because obviously it can vary depending on kind of who's controlling that market.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting, you know, the French perspective on how we use our outdoor spaces and the importance of cycling. And I think there's probably some good insights there that perhaps the UK could adopt in future as well. And, you know, when you talk about the international markets, obviously, the more countries you sell to, there's more complexity and there's more coordination. In your role, Anthony, you know, running the e-commerce business, what challenges have you faced, you know, coordinating all these internal departments? I mean, you mentioned the e-commerce store being like the face of the business and that actually promotes the brand as well as selling the product. You know, what's involved in that on a day-to-day basis, you know, coordinating all these internal departments?
Yeah, it's difficult for sure. I think, you know, we have an e-commerce team where there's the six of us in Brompton. But actually, you know, to make this work, it's a huge cross-departmental effort. You know, everything from design and getting a box design to be able to ship our product direct to home, to the logistics team, to production, who have worked every day, you know, that they were able to under COVID to make sure we had product to sell. You know, we've got sales teams in market, you know, we've got people on the ground in France who are helping us guide our decisions and what we range. And then obviously one of our closest relationships is with the marketing team. But it, for me, you know, we can sit down and pretend that we have all these amazing processes that just flow. Actually, I think the key for me when I joined was actually just building those relationships across departments. I think, you know, if you tend to get on with people, you tend to get more out of people. But I think more formally, it's ensuring that we're having those regular meetings. You know, when I first joined the business, there wasn't really a need for us to be sitting and talking to production because, you know, our bikes were being built. There wasn't really a need for us to deal with design. But actually now we're meeting with everybody on a regular basis. I think what that does is it allows us to share our vision for the future of e-commerce. It allows us to get cross-company buy-in to those plans, which I think is super important. You know, e-commerce isn't going away and you know, it's only going to grow. I think what else it does is it helps to highlight blockers in plans or challenges that we might come across that we might not have thought of. And what I found by working closely with people is that actually we're finding out those issues much earlier than we would if we just went and ventured off ourselves. But yeah, I think, you know, the marketing relationship is really important because the website is, we're not just selling a product on our website. You know, it's the first touch point for a lot of people to the brand. So for us, it's how do we inform and provide all that information through marketing and working closely with them to then ensure that they're aware of their options, you know, whether that's going for a test ride in store at, you know, Evans, or it's understanding that we now sell a B75 or an electric bike. It's a really complex journey, and being a manufacturer and having that presence as well as an e-commerce presence is a difficult balancing act for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really interesting insight into all the various pieces that need to be kept in alignment, and, you know, sometimes the complexity of talking to multiple teams. And I think that's something, you know, you've managed to do incredibly well, you know, in taking the business further. You touched on one item that's interesting. So the interaction with marketing, what activities have you undertaken with the marketing team, you know, recently, and what has been the success of that to, you know, attract and retain customers through the store?
Yeah, I mean, what I'll talk about this is just kind of my responsibility in terms of e-commerce marketing. But it's been a huge, you know, positive challenge for us. You know, COVID's driven the incredible demand. But what does that mean? You know, from an e-commerce, you know, a lot of our marketing is digital, as you would expect. But a lot of that's focused on last click conversion and return on investments and time spent on site, etc. But actually, when we're struggling, you know, when we're launching product and we're selling out within sort of a matter of minutes or hours, how do you flip that marketing on its head? It goes against everything that you want to do as somebody in e-commerce. We've taken the decision now that, you know, we're not really going to be looking at somebody with those really high intent keyword searches that are looking for the Brompton or a specific bike, because actually they're going to find us, or they're going to find one of our dealers to buy that product from. Our focus now is how do we attract new customers? How do we start people on that journey today of understanding about our electric bike, which is a really considered long purchase journey? How are we in front of mind when people are searching for competitors? You know, it's not something we've ever done before, because we, you know, quite selfishly not needed to. You know, it's always been very Brompton focused, but now we're expanding that, which has been really interesting, and actually obviously makes for harder conversations in your trading meeting when your returns are falling. But I think for us as a brand, that's where we're striving to go, is to attract new people to get the name out there about Brompton, not just in the UK, but in France, in the US, etc. But retaining customers as well is a challenge. You know, a bike has a pretty long life cycle. So what we're really trying to focus on now is being front of mind at the right time in our parts and accessories category, whether that's lighting when the clocks go back, it's our new helmet ranges, it's making sure that people are aware that we now start selling spares across the website in case you need a new inner tube or you need to replace your tires. You know, it's about how do we get that repeat purchase, and the repeat purchase for us is down our parts and accessories category. But also, you know, away from that, organically, what we're doing is really focusing on building strong social communities. It's not necessarily an e-commerce activity, but I think what it does, that digital kind of connection with people talking about the brand and sharing our content and people sharing their own content around how they're using Brompton, where they've been, what challenges have they done, you know, it makes a really strong propensity to come back to the website. But we've had, you know, not just online, we've had some really cool initiatives over COVID. I don't know if you saw it, but we did an initiative called Wheels for Heroes, where we produced 800 bikes for the NHS, you know, to all the people that didn't want to commute on the tube but were going and doing amazing work through COVID. You know, So all those kind of brand activities that we do, we're not just doing them to try and look like we're doing the right thing. I think what we tend to do as a brand is put our money where our mouth is. You know, we made 800 bikes in COVID in you know, the biggest cycling boom for generations. But yet we thought it was the right thing to do and not make any money from it, you know. So it's a real balance. I think that goes back to who do you want to be as a brand, and being there and being part of that conversation, whether it's, you know, helping people to travel better, safer, you know, there's a lot of facets to it, but it's definitely interesting for sure.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. And I think it ties back into what we were talking about, being ethical as a brand and really aligning with what the customer needs. And it sounds like, you know, a lot of exciting things have been happening in terms of the marketing. So, Anthony, if you were to take out your crystal ball now and look into the future and predict, you know, how things would happen for Brompton, you know, what things are on the horizon? You know, what do you expect to happen in future?
Yeah, it's one that we all sit around every week and trying to plan out in this crazy world at the moment. But, you know, there's no doubt from a D2C perspective that our opportunities are global. You know, that's expansion outside of Europe. That's definitely a focus over the next few years. But I think what our real opportunity is to get hold of that customer and to take them on the journey. You know, we've launched Brompton Bike Hire, which is now, I've got however many docks across the UK, which is seeing a really positive uptake into that scheme. And it's about, well, once somebody's used Brompton Bike Hire or they've gone for a test ride, how do we then look after that customer on that consideration journey? It's not necessarily about, for us in the future, prioritizing D2C over our network of shops and customers from a trade perspective. I think what we're trying to do is we're trying to be present at the right time for the customer and allow them to make informed decisions that's right for them, whether that's doing a test ride in store and then researching online and then going back to Halfords to buy their bike, or it's actually that journey's purely online and it's looking at reviews. It's, you know, inevitably D2C is going to grow. You know, I think that's a given as the world shifts, you know, more and more to online shopping. But I think our focus has been, and highlighted in COVID really, it's really easy to grow, you know, in this industry at the moment, but it's difficult to do that well. And making sure that you're still doing everything right and you're still standing by your principles. I think, you know, our focus as a business is to be accessible to all. I think I mentioned that earlier, but you know, we really do believe that getting on a bike is best at the moment. And I think that journey sort of lends itself to that horrible buzz phrase of being an omni-channel business, you know. But yeah. I think we have a great opportunity at Brompton to do that. I think we've got such a wide network of people. If we utilise it effectively, you know, it's going to be a super interesting journey. I don't think anybody does omnichannel particularly well. There's a few great examples of it. But that's got to be our focus as we build out Bike Car, we build out our Brompton Junction store network, we build out our dealer network globally. You know, we open direct to consumer globally. We've got to link all that together somehow. I don't have the answer to that yet, but that's certainly where we're putting our time and our effort. Just making sure we can offer the best brand experience possible wherever somebody is buying from us.
Yeah, it certainly sounds very exciting that there's a lot of things happening in the business, and you know, I look forward to, as well as many of our listeners, to hearing that journey and seeing it play out over the next few years, particularly in the environment that we live in today. So, yeah, very exciting. And Anthony, thank you very much for sharing those thoughts with us today. I think really interesting insight into the business and how you've grown the business, both from an online perspective and dealing with challenges and talking about, you know, how we actually give customers what they want in the way that they want it and using data to do that. I think some really interesting discussion points today. So, Anthony, I really appreciate you coming on the show. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no, thank you. And hopefully we can get you down to the factory when this is all over.
Absolutely. Okay, well, thanks, Anthony.
Cheers. Thanks, Michael.
Okay, bye.